Well, good morning, friends. When you're a pastor, you tend to count time in Sundays, okay? Here's what I mean. When I think about everything that's happened over the last several weeks, I think about Sundays. 4 weeks ago, all of us up here, pastors, we were preaching ordinary sermons. In fact, 4 weeks ago, Paul and I were wrapping up a sermon series on relationships, and in our contemporary venue, we showed a Seinfeld clip. Okay? That's where we were 4 weeks ago. Fast forward 1 week from that, so 3 weeks ago, and at the last minute, Friday afternoon, Paul and I decide to get off track from the sermon series that we were going to be starting together, and instead to talk about anxiety and fear that was rising because of the coronavirus. Fast forward 1 week after that, so 2 weeks ago, and it's our first Sunday with the sanctuary empty, and us gathering together in our homes around our city, our state, and our world. It's unbelievable how quickly things have changed. And if you think back to 2 or 3 weeks ago, it feels like it was that time frame, 2 or 3 weeks ago, when we began to wake up collectively to the reality of the coronavirus. It was that period, 2 to 3 weeks ago, when many of us started taking social distancing seriously. And many of us made the mental shift from thinking about this primarily as something that can affect me and thinking it's unlikely that I'll get it and it's unlikely that it would really affect me if I did get it, to thinking more socially and thinking I'm less concerned about maybe me getting sick, but I want to be a part of stopping the spread of this. I don't want to get it because I don't want somebody to get it from me. 2 to 3 weeks ago is when we began to realize that this really was coming. And it really would be a big deal. But even though it became real 2 to 3 weeks ago, I'm not sure that for most of us, it became personal until this week. If I'm reading the room right, especially around Dallas, it seems like this is the week where the burden of this feels heavier on us. It feels harder this week than it did last week. It's becoming personal. For me, it was Tuesday. Tuesday is when it became personal for me, and I'm going to tell you about Tuesday in just a minute. But I think all of us right now have to be answering the question, what are we going to do in response to this feeling personal and knowing that it will feel more and more personal for the next few weeks? What do we do in response to this? You know, people keep saying, turn to God. Turn to the Lord, rely on the Spirit, all of these things. And I obviously agree with those things. I'm a Christian. I'm a professional Christian, okay? I obviously agree with these things. But I think a lot of us are also asking, okay, but what does that actually mean? I want to rely on God. I want to turn to God. Maybe for the first time or the first time in a long time, how do I actually do that? Well, here's the good news. There's something that I want to show us this morning that is practical, it's tangible, it's time-tested, it's something that you can bring into your radar this week, and by turning towards this thing, you turn towards God. So all I want to do this morning is show us that thing as we respond to a week when this has begun to feel personal. Let me pray for us. Holy Spirit, you have been with us this morning so far. As we have sung together and as we have prayed together, as we've thought about and as Paul has talked about the things that our church is doing in our community, Lord, you have been with us. So now as we turn to this time of asking how it is that we can move forward, we pray that you, by the power of your Spirit, will be with us during this time also. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be pleasing to you, O Lord. You're our rock and our redeemer. We pray these things in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so Tuesday for me. So I wake up Tuesday morning, and my wife Amy and I have now made it through 1 day of homeschooling, okay? And I got to tell you, at this point, we did not feel good about it, okay? Yeah, it's funny. The week of spring break, there were lots of memes and whatnot about how it was so funny that we're all homeschool parents. And then by Monday afternoon, it wasn't funny anymore. Right, Amy and I looked at each other on Monday evening, And we said, it is unbelievable that last week was spring break, and we have only had our kids home one extra day so far. It feels like we've been doing this for semesters. I feel like I should be up for tenure by this point. It's one day. And the weight of it began to just sit on us, and maybe some of you feel this too, began to sit on us, because not only do we have to figure out how to keep these kids entertained, but we began to realize, hold on, no, their social and their academic development really does rest on our shoulders with the partnership of their school, but it rests on our shoulders for the next few weeks. And it began to feel heavy. And then shortly after I got up, I went down to the Parkland emergency room. They have a shift change at 6:45 a.m. and 6:45 p.m. Paul went to the p.m. shift, I went to the a.m. shift, and they meet outside. We were socially distanced, but we had the opportunity to pray for that medical team as they prepared for their day. And I realized what I went through yesterday, homeschooling my kids, is nothing compared to what the front lines are going to be going through these next 12 hours. And it became a little bit more real and a little bit more personal. And then I talked to a buddy who works in a state lab, and he's working all the time now because he's on the front lines in that regard, trying to develop ways to test and to speed this testing process up. And then he crawls home at night exhausted to spend time with his wife and his kids. And then I talked to a buddy whose father is on a ventilator. And then Amy and I wrapped up the night with some SMU students online. We lead a small group for SMU students on Tuesday evenings. And we huddled up with them online and talked with them about how this was affecting them as young adults. On Tuesday, it became real for me in a personal way, and I think for many of you, that's true also. So what do we do in response as this is beginning to feel heavier and heavier? What I want to give us this morning is something that will help us very practically turn towards God. And I gotta give you a heads up. It's not something new, okay? It's not shiny. It's not new and it's not fresh. In fact, it's old. In fact, it's really old. And we're in a time where I think we're rediscovering the value of old things, okay? Walks and phone calls and things like that. But this is something really old. 3,000 years old. But before you write it off, think about this. This has been passed down from generation to generation for 3,000 years. How many generations is that? Generation to generation. This is, it's a prayer, and it's a prayer that our grandparents prayed and their grandparents prayed. From generation to generation, for 3,000 years, it's been passed down, and now it lands in our laps as a gift to lead us through this time. So I'm just going to read it this morning, okay? I'm going to read it and make a few comments along the way, and as I'm reading, will you just be thinking about this? Will you be thinking about how is it that God might be using this prayer to help me to turn towards Him? How might God be using this prayer to help me to have a little bit deeper trust? How might God be using this prayer to help me in my response to all of this feeling very personal? And I'll share some thoughts at the end, okay? I'll share some thoughts after I read it. But you just need to know that what God says to you just simply through the words of this prayer, that's probably going to be more impactful than what I reflect back in just a minute. So have your hearts and your minds open. Here's the first line. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Psalm 23, if you're following along at home, you can open your Bibles to Psalm 23. It's a prayer that it paints the image of a shepherd patiently and painstakingly leading his flock. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Okay, when you hear green pastures, don't picture lush rolling hills. Some of you remember the background of Windows 97, okay? Don't picture that. That's not what's happening here, okay? Picture a little plug of grass that you buy at the nursery that you plant hoping that it'll spread out. Picture a weed coming up between pavestones. Picture that. That's what this is. It's not the shepherd giving the sheep grass for days. It's grass for this minute, for this moment. One little tuft of grass at a time. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for His namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you see those last two lines? Goodness and mercy will follow me when? All the days of my life. And because of that, I will be able to dwell in the house of the Lord when? All the days of my life. Forever. Because he follows after us. That's what we get. So for you, how might God be speaking to you through Psalm 23? Maybe it's as simple as this. You're having a hard time finding the words to pray right now. Maybe you've prayed in the past, but you can't find the words now. Or maybe prayer is something new for you. You're not finding the words. Maybe what Psalm 23 is for you this week is it is just your prayer. You pray it once, twice, maybe three times a day. You just sit down and you not only read it, but you seek to actually to pray these words. Maybe that's what it is for you. Maybe God is speaking to you through the idea of the green pastures. Maybe he's speaking to you through the idea of the valley. How is the Lord speaking to you through this? Well, here's what's going on for me. It's in verse 4. Did you notice this? And if you're new to the Bible and you haven't heard this before, you're more likely to have noticed this. Did you notice that in verse 4, there's a pronoun change? I mean, it seems insignificant, but I actually think it's really important. And again, if you're reading this for the first time, you might have noticed that and thought, that's strange. I mean, who wrote this and did he pass freshman English? You don't change pronouns in the middle of one consistent poem or prayer. But he does. And I think David, who wrote this, is giving us a nod. He's giving us a wink. He's showing us something. You see, in verses 1 through 3, and then again in verse 6, he refers to God as he or as the Lord. But then in verse 4, when he gets into the valley, he doesn't say, he is with me. He says, you are with me. See, David seems to know something that some of us know intuitively and that some of us don't know, but we need to know and we need to remember. That oftentimes it's in the valley that God, that the shepherd, seems to become more personal. When it's no longer he over there, but it's you right here. You see, it's in the valley that so often we meet the shepherd face to face. So as we struggle in a week, when COVID-19 has become more real for many of us, I am confident that the best response, no questions asked, is that in a week when COVID-19 has become more real, that the best response is for this week for the shepherd to become more real for us also. That as the reality has set in and as all of this has begun to feel more personal, that the response is for us to lean into the Lord and for that relationship to become more personal also. But again, how do we do this? Maybe for you, it's just that you start praying this, and then the next step after you pray it is that you start to try to live as if you mean these words. To live as if you don't have to want because you have a shepherd. You don't have to fear because he's with you. You'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever, meaning regardless of what happens in this life, that you will dwell with him forever, not because of what you've done, but because he chases after you with goodness and with mercy. Maybe the next step is to pray that and to live like we mean it. Because, friends, the future is not yet written. It's not yet determined how we get out of this as a society or how you get out of this personally. The future is not yet written, and what we do in the midst of this time matters a lot. Think about the last two or three weeks. Two or three weeks ago is when we woke up and we began to start dealing with this seriously. We began responding differently to it. We started social distancing. We sheltered in place. And what some of us began to realize, but frankly it's something that we're still struggling with that we need to get our heads wrapped around, is that we need to recognize that at this point tests and medical supplies are precious and they're finite. And we need to listen to the experts when they give us parameters about who needs to be tested and what to do when we become symptomatic. The last 2 to 3 weeks, we've changed the way that we're responding to this, and it's making a difference. It matters. As a society, we changed, and it matters. This week, as we're waking up to this being more personal for us, how you respond personally matters. It matters a lot. See, we're all going to cling to something during this time, okay? In fact, we're all already clinging to things. You could probably tell me what it is that you're clinging on to now. What is that is getting you through this time? We're all going to cling to something. And what you cling to during this time will have a huge impact on how you weather this moment. And how you weather this moment will not only impact the rest of your life, but how you weather this moment and how we weather this moment as a society will impact the generations that come after us. Because think about this. While we're talking about older things, think about the battles that our parents and that our grandparents fought. Think about the Great Depression. In the Great Depression, our parents and our grandparents worked hard to survive and to get this country back on track. And as they did that, they turned to God, and they turned to God by turning to this prayer, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And one day at a time, they toiled and they turned this country around for us. And our parents and our grandparents, they fought in the Second World War. They fought on the front lines of it, and they fought to keep things going at home. And as they fought that battle at home and abroad, they turned to God, and they turned to God by praying things like, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me." They walked through that valley beat down, but with extraordinary bravery. And they did it for us. And there are a myriad of other examples that you can think about with your own parents and your own grandparents who struggled with everything from job loss to relationship loss to desperation to depression to infidelity to infertility, to all of the trials of life that they walked through. And many of them all along the way, while they fought, they prayed things like, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I can make it because I know that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And they fought and they made those sacrifices and they prayed and they turned to God for us. This prayer now lands in our lap. It lands in our generation. It lands in this battle. And whether or not we turn to the Lord to lead us through this or not will make a huge difference on whether we weather this personally well or whether we come out of this worse on the other side. As COVID-19 becomes personal for us, remember that it's in the valley that we so often meet the shepherd face to face, the good shepherd, the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. It's in the valley that Jesus so often becomes personal for us. So I hope this week that we'll take time to turn to him. And taking time to turn to him may mean taking time to turn away from some other things. Those other things that we're clinging to, we may have to put them down for a time. To turn to the Lord by praying Psalm 23, by reading and reflecting on Scripture, by sitting either face-to-face with those that we're at home with, or by sitting face-to-face through a computer terminal and talking about these things with friends. It may mean sitting and waiting on Him, knowing that strength comes to those who wait upon the Lord. This matters, friends, because we are at our best. Individually and corporately, we are at our best when we are turned towards the Lord, and we need to be at our best right now. God has not forsaken us. In fact, this may be the time where we are able to feel Him more closely than ever before. The Lord is our shepherd. So I'm going to end this time by praying a blessing for you. I typically end sermons by praying, but this is a different kind of prayer. So let's close out this time as I pray this, a blessing over you and over our community, our global community. Let us pray. The Lord is your shepherd. May you not want. He makes you lie down in green pastures, and He leads you beside still waters. He restores your soul. He leads you in right paths for His namesake. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, may you fear no evil. He is with you. His rod and His staff, they comfort you. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He anoints your head with oil. Your cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And may you dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen, friends.